It's time for Nicole Sandler's What's News from NicoleSandler.com and the Progressive Voices Network.
Well, we've survived the first week under the rule of our new president, who appears to have missed the memo on what an American president looks and sounds like. Instead, what's emerging is a fascist dictator. I'm serious. I'm not overstating the danger. An article entitled 14 Defining Characteristics of Fascism, written by Lawrence W. Britt, was published in 2003 by Free Inquiry magazine. Given what the Trump administration has done and attempted to do in its first week in office, I thought it was time to revisit that piece and give it the What's News treatment. Now, there's too much to fit into one six-minute segment, so we'll break it into parts, and at the end, we'll have one long-form, easy-to-share special edition. But let's get started with number one. Powerful and continuing nationalism. Fascist regimes tend to make constant use of patriotic mottos, slogans, symbols, songs, and other paraphernalia. Flags are seen everywhere, as are flag symbols on clothing and in public displays.
From this day forward, a new vision will govern our land. From this day forward, it's going to be only America first. America first.
Number two, disdain for the recognition of human rights.
Equal rights and justice.
Because of fear of enemies and the need for security, the people in fascist regimes are persuaded that human rights can be ignored in certain cases because of need. The people tend to look the other way or even approve of torture, summary executions, assassinations, long incarcerations of prisoners, etc.
Mr. President, you told me during one of the debates that you would bring back waterboarding and a hell of a lot worse.
I want to keep our country safe. I want to keep our country safe.
What does that mean?
When they're shooting, when they're chopping off the heads of our people and other people, when they're chopping off the heads of people because they happen to be a Christian in the Middle East, when ISIS is doing things that nobody has ever heard of since medieval times, would I feel strongly about waterboarding? As far as I'm concerned, we have to fight fire with fire. I have spoken as recently as 24 hours ago with people at the highest level of intelligence, and I asked them the question, does torture work? And the answer was yes, absolutely.
Number three, identification of enemies and scapegoats as a unifying cause.
Short people got no reason to live. They got little hands, little eyes. They walk around telling great big lies.
The people are rallied into a unifying patriotic frenzy over the need to eliminate a perceived common threat or foe.
Lock her up. That's right.
Racial, ethnic, or religious minorities, liberals, communists, socialists, terrorists. You got the idea?
Donald J. Trump is calling for a total and complete shutdown of Muslims entering the United States.
Number four, supremacy of the military. Even when there are widespread domestic problems, the military is given a disproportionate amount of government funding, and the domestic agenda is neglected. Soldiers and military service are glamorized.
We're going to build up our great military. We're going to build it up. We're going to strengthen our borders. We're going to do things that haven't been done for our country for many, many decades. It's going to change. I promise you, it's going to change.
Number five, rampant sexism.
I'll admit it.
Whoa.
I did try and fuck her. She was married.
That's huge news there.
I moved in her like a bitch, but I couldn't get there, and she was married. And all of a sudden, I see her. She's now got the big phony tits and everything. I've got to use some Tic Tacs just in case I start kissing her. You know, I'm automatically attracted to beautiful. I just start kissing them. It's like a magnet. I don't even wait. And when you're a star, they let you do it. You can do anything.
Whatever you want.
Grab them by the pussy. I could do anything.
I say, let us put man and a woman together to find out which one is smarter. Some say men, but I say no.
The governments of fascist nations tend to be almost exclusively male-dominated. Under fascist regimes, traditional gender roles are made more rigid. Divorce, abortion, and homosexuality are suppressed, and the state is represented as the ultimate guardian of the family institution.
That's right, the woman is... Sparta, that's right. The woman is
Ta-ta, that's right. The woman is ta-ta, that's right. That's right.
Number 6. Controlled mass media.
Well, I got nothing against the press. They wouldn't print it if it wasn't true.
As you know, I have a running war with the media. They are among the most dishonest human beings on earth. I get up this morning, I turn on one of the networks, and they show an empty field. I said, wait a minute. I made a speech. I looked out. The field was, it looked like a million and a half people. They showed a field where there were practically nobody standing.
Sometimes the media is directly controlled by the government, but in other cases, the media is indirectly controlled by government regulation or sympathetic media spokespeople and executives. Censorship.
A reminder that the president's top aide just told the New York Times that the press should keep its mouth shut. No.
Especially in wartime, is very common. Number 7, obsession with national security.
We will reinforce old alliances and form new ones and unite the civilized world against radical Islamic terrorism, which we will eradicate completely from the face of the earth.
Fear is used as a motivational tool by the government over the masses. Number 8, religion and government are intertwined.
'Cause there ain't no doubt I love this land. God bless the USA.
Governments in fascist nations tend to use the most common religion in the nation as a tool to manipulate public opinion.
Just over a year and a month since candidate Trump called for, and I quote here, a complete and total shutdown of Muslims entering the United States, President Trump today signed an executive order aimed at fulfilling at least part of that goal, hewing closely to the rhetoric of banning entry to the United States based on country of origin and possibly even religion.
Religious rhetoric and terminology is common from government leaders, even when the major tenets of the religion are diametrically opposed to the government's policies or actions.
We come to you, Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus.
Number 9, corporate power is protected.
We are going to be cutting taxes massively for both the middle class and for companies. When somebody wants to put up a factory, it's going to be expedited. We think we can cut regulations by 75%, maybe more, but by 75%.
The industrial and business aristocracy of a fascist nation often are the ones who put the government leaders into power, creating a mutually beneficial business/government relationship and power elite. Number 10, labor power is suppressed.
Take this job and shove it.
Taxes too high, wages too high. We're not going to be able to compete against the world. I hate to say it, but we have to leave it the way it is. People have to go out, they have to work really hard, and they have to get into that upper stratum. Our wages are too high. Everything's too high.
Take this job and shove it. I ain't working here no more.
Because the organizing power of labor is the only real threat to a fascist government, labor unions are either eliminated entirely or are severely suppressed.
Trump isn't just tweeting that unions aren't doing a good job. He actually, Leo, is putting his money where his mouth is. Today, he picked Andrew Puzder for labor secretary. That is the CEO of the company that owns Carl's Jr. and Hardee's. He is a vocal critic of minimum wage increases. On this issue, he said businesses create jobs, labor unions do not. To the contrary, labor unions often discourage businesses from creating jobs, particularly entry-level ones, by increasing the cost of labor without increasing its value. Is he the right pick for labor secretary?
No, absolutely not. He's completely wrong.
Number 11, disdain for intellectuals and the arts.
Something touched me deep inside the day the music died.
As President-elect Donald Trump prepares to take the oath of office, his transition team has reportedly been considering massive budget cuts to significantly reduce federal spending. According to a report published by The Hill on Thursday, the goal is to slash federal spending by $10.5 trillion over the next decade. It reports many departments, including energy and justice, would face cuts, but two agencies reportedly on the chopping block got quite a bit of attention. Those agencies are the National Endowment for the Arts and the National Endowment for the Humanities. They fund arts and humanities programs across the country, including at museums and educational institutions. Not long after the report was published, the National Endowment for the Arts tweeted this nearly four-minute video about what it's done for American society.
Human beings not only define who they are, but who they want to be through the arts.
So would eliminating those two agencies make a dent? According to our math, the budgets of each agency accounted for less than 0.04% of federal spending in fiscal year 2016. But if the team did aim to cut $10.5 trillion in 10 years, or a little over $1 trillion per year, there wouldn't be much left. As a writer for The New Yorker pointed out, that would account for about all annual federal discretionary spending.
Fascist nations tend to promote and tolerate open hostility to higher education and academia.
I love the poorly educated.
It's not uncommon for professors and other academics to be censored or even arrested. Free expression in the arts and letters is openly attacked.
Well, President-elect up early on Twitter.
He sure is going to war with Hollywood's most celebrated actress. She went on a Twitter firestorm here and starts, Meryl Streep, one of the most overrated actresses in Hollywood, doesn't know me, but attacked last night at the Golden Globes. She is a Hillary flunky who lost big. For the 100th time, I never mocked a disabled reporter, would never do that, but simply showed him groveling when he totally changed a 16-year-old story that he had written in order to make me look bad. Just more very dishonest media.
Number 12. Obsession with crime and punishment. Under fascist regimes, the police are given almost limitless power to enforce laws.
We have to bring back law and order. Now, whether or not in a place like Chicago you do stop and frisk, which worked very well, Mayor Giuliani is here, but you take the gun away from criminals that shouldn't be having it.
Police at the ease in the street.
The people are often willing to overlook police abuses and even forego civil liberties in the name of patriotism. There is often a national police force with virtually unlimited power in fascist nations.
The president tweeted, if Chicago doesn't fix the horrible carnage going on, 228 shootings in 2017 with 42 killings, up 24% from 2016, I will send in the feds.
Number 13. Rampant cronyism and corruption.
CBS News estimates 7 of Mr. Trump's picks are worth a combined $11.5 billion. Betsy DeVos, nominated for Secretary of Education, comes from a family worth more than $5 billion. Linda McMahon, picked for Small Business Administrator, has family wealth worth $1.2 billion. And Vincent Viola, Mr. Trump's choice for Army Secretary, is worth $1.77 billion.
I guess that I have a few poor millionaires on it, but mostly it's billionaires.
If I had $1 million.
If I had $1 million.
Well, I'd buy you a house.
I would buy you a house.
And if I had $1 million.
Fascist regimes almost always are governed by groups of friends and associates who appoint each other to government positions and use governmental power and authority to protect their friends from accountability. It's not uncommon in fascist regimes for national resources and even treasures to be appropriated or even outright stolen by government leaders.
You don't appoint the cabinet of billionaires to be taken on the establishment.
Steve Mnuchin, Mr. Trump's treasury pick, has been estimated to be worth as much as $655 million. He and Commerce Secretary nominee Wilbur Ross, worth $2.5 billion, recently said they were attuned to the plight of working Americans.
If I had $1 million.
I'd be rich.
But not by Trump administration or cabinet standards. Number 14, fraudulent elections.
So why not definitively say that he will investigate if he believes in the administration's right. position is that there was massive voter fraud?
Well, first of all, the comment that he made was he said 3 to 5 million people, you know, could have voted illegally.
Sometimes elections in fascist nations are a complete sham. Other times, elections are manipulated by smear campaigns against or even assassination of opposition candidates.
Crooked Hillary, fuck. She's been crooked from the beginning, and to think that she has a shot at being our president, crooked Hillary Clinton. We can't let it happen. You can't let it happen.
Use of legislation to control voting numbers or political district boundaries and manipulation of the media.
So why not definitively say that he will investigate if he believes in the administration's right. position is that there was massive voter fraud?
Well, first of all, the comment that he made was he said 3 to 5 million people, you know, could have voted illegally.
Fascist nations also typically use their judiciaries to manipulate or control elections.
I'm sick and tired of hearing things from tight, short-sighted, narrow-minded hypocrites. All I want is the truth. Just give me some truth. I've had enough of reading things by neurotic, psychotic, pig-headed politicians. All I want is the truth. Just give me some truth.
That's it, the 14 definitive characteristics of fascism, as written by Lawrence Britt, published in 2003, and given the What's News treatment by me. I'm Nicole Sandler of NicoleSandler.com and the Progressive Voices Network, telling you we are living in seriously dangerous times. It's up to us to resist every day, fight fascism.
And that's today's dose of What's News, written and produced by Nicole Sandler. Hear the Nicole Sandler Show live, Tuesday through Friday, 3 to 4 Eastern, 12 to 1 Pacific, at NicoleSandler.com and on the Progressive Voices Network.